Let's go to the Lord in prayer and sing a little chorus and let him know he is Lord. Let's sing this. He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, we acknowledge that Jesus is the Lord. And one day every tongue will confess that, Lord. Right now they're not doing that, but we are. We are. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Well, and government used to, and they still do this, they tag migratory birds by the Department of the Interior with metal strips. Can y'all put that up there? I want you to see how this is. They will put this on every bird. Wash, bile, survey. That stands for Washington Biological Survey, but it was changed when a farmer from Mississippi wrote to Washington and said, "Dear sirs, I shot one of your crows and my wife followed the cooking instructions attached. She washed it, boiled it, and served it, and it was the worst thing we ever ate." You know, And I thought about that, and you know, when I read that way, they said that was true. I don't know. You know, sometimes you read things, but and sometimes my stories, I get in trouble because my wife says they don't go with the sermon. So I'm going to try to relate this. Here it is. Look, guys. Sometimes we get into trouble. Write this down, kids. When we follow the wrong directions. We get into trouble when we have friends and they give us directions that are wrong and we follow them. And we need to understand that. For the Christian, the only directions we need to follow are from God. There's all kinds of people out there giving directions. We need to follow directions from God. We want to talk about that a little because, listen, the ways of the world and the ways of men, write this down, can be and are deceptive. Deceptive. Especially, even as Christians, when we make plans and we proceed with those plans without even thinking about God or in spite of God or without talking to God or anything about God, we just decide what we want to do and then we do it and then we find ourselves in a big mess like those poor people that boiled that crow. We had to eat crow. I've never eaten crow. Well, figuratively I have, but not literally. You can get into trouble. I'm going to read a verse. I'm going to read it out of a little different translation than King James that I usually use, but I do this because I believe it helps us understand the meaning of the word or the verse. It's in Proverbs 16, verse 9. And it says this, it says, "The mind of man plans his way." Now what that means is God gave us minds and we are going to make plans because that's the way we operate. We are going to make plans. If you are a Baptist in a Baptist church, you're going to come up with some plans. That's just the way it is. But the verse goes on and says, "But the Lord directs his steps." Now, there are a lot of different ways to think about that. Some people just look at it like God's sovereign and he's going to direct you however he wants you to go and you don't necessarily have a choice. I think the context means that what it is. We think and we plan and we have this wonderful thing called a brain that God gave us, and we think of things, but we allow God to direct us in those plans. So that's what we want to talk about today. We want to make plans, but we want God to direct our steps to that plan. How's this work? Well, we want to talk about how this works scripturally. First of all, write this down. You need to pray for direction. That is the first step in any plans that we should make. Prayer. And it's kind of like when you don't know where you are, it is usually a good idea to ask someone who knows where you are for directions. Now, men, we don't like doing that. Women don't mind that. But the smart thing to do, even if you're a man, is if you are lost, to ask someone for directions. Often I've had people come to me and they'd say, "Brother Alex, I want to know what God wants me to do in this situation." And sometimes I don't know why they come ask me, because I know I'm not God, you know, but they come and ask me. And so I'll often ask them, I'll say, "Well, have you asked God what He wants you to do?" And they'll look at me with the most perplexed look on their face. And they'll look at me like, "What? What?" And I'll repeat myself. I'll say, "Well, have you asked God what He wants you to do?" And they'll just have the most perplexed look, and they'll say, "Well, no." Ask Him, you doofus. You know, if you want to know what someone wants you to do or what someone thinks, ask them. Ask them. That also works well in marriage, just as a side note. Ladies, quit expecting your husband to read your mind, because he isn't going to do it. He had never done it and never will be able to. And the same way for you men. Pray and submit your will to His will and ask Him. That is what you do first. In Psalm 143, verse 8, it says, "I come to you in prayer, asking for your guidance." Okay. Go to God and ask Him for guidance. Some of you may remember this. I don't know if you're... I've got anybody in here that had that. I don't see Brian or Stacy. I used to teach this novel in 10th grade English, but it was one day in the life of Ivan Denisovich, and Ivan was a Christian that found himself in a Soviet gulag or prison camp. And this whole novel is probably a true story, but it's about one day in that prison camp. It's a short novel, so those of you that want to read a short novel at school, that's a good one. But Ivan's a Christian, and what he's doing in this particular scene is praying. And he's standing there on the work crew with his eyes shut, praying. And one of the other prisoners sees him, and he begins to mock him and make fun of him, you know. And he says, "You know, praying isn't going to get you out of here any quicker." And Ivan looked up at him, and he says, "I do not pray to get out of prison, but to do the will of God." Often, folks, when we have our prayer meetings, we spend all our time praying, trying to pray people out of prison or into health or out of the situation or whatever. When in reality, we need to be praying, particularly for ourselves, that within whatever context we are in, or they are in, that they would be able to do the will of God. Because folks, while we are here, we are going to be in tough situations because of sin. Not necessarily our sin, but other people's sin. And sometimes because of that sin, we are in prison. But we need to pray that we would do God's will where we are. Pray. Then, and by the way, that should be our daily prayer, to do the will of God. And then also, we need to weigh, write it down, the pros and cons. As you are praying, this is what I do. I get out a sheet of paper, and I'll make two columns. On one side, I put pro, other side, con. That's positive, negative. And make a list in each column and study the Word of God. And I include scriptures and stuff that I have discovered from the Word of God. Here's what we don't do as modern Christians, because we're in a big hurry. We say, well, I'm going to pray and ask God about it. So we pray and ask God about it, and 2 minutes later we got an answer to God, from God. No, we haven't. No, you haven't. God primarily speaks to you through His Word. So you pray, and then you get His Word out, and you begin a process of study. Sometimes you need to fast, and that means doing without the worldly things that distract you. And you begin to pray and study God's Word and write down things that you learn from God's Word. And sometimes this is a week-long, day-long, month-long, years-long process. It's important. God gave you a brain. Now this is difficult for many of you to get, but pay attention and stay with me right here. Look at me. God gave you a brain. There is nothing, in spite of what you know about the internet, there is nothing wrong with you using your brain. You don't have to look it up and see what everybody else thinks about it online. You can use your brain. God gave you your brain. And I encourage you to do that. When you're praying, when you're thinking about it, the Holy Spirit can lead you, especially when the Word of God is being studied. You know the old verse from Bible school that we all learn, Psalm 119, 105, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You want to know where to go and how to walk? Use the Word. Study the Word. The problem is that so many people are not studying the Word. You know, I read about this survey, and I know, and you know, that surveys can be deceptive and all, but you know, I've been in the ministry a long time, and I kind of feel like this one's right on. It's just a Barna research thing. Christians were asked during a typical week, how many days, if any, would you read the Bible? Not including the time you're at church. Okay? 13% answered every day. 13% of the Christians. 32%, this is better, said at least 3 times a week. But 43% said, no, none, not at all. Now, I'm not going to ask you, because I found out a long time ago, when you ask stuff like this in church, people just lie. And I don't want you to lie at church, you know. But if you are not reading the Word of God, then do not expect to know what God wants you to do. I'm sorry. You will not know what God wants you to do if you do not study His Word. That is His primary way of speaking to you. Oh yes, you know, we can have feelings or something, and God does use those. Yes, He can use good Christian friends. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. He can do a lot of things, But the primary way he is going to tell you and show you what to do is his word. And if you are not studying it regularly, don't expect to know what God wants you to do regularly. You just will not know it. It's not surprising how little direction from his word that many Christians get because they just don't study it. And you can ask trusted friends. You can write that down. Christian friends. In Proverbs 1:5 it says, a wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. You know, I encourage you if you decide, and biblically, there are many times people have just said that. You need to speak to people who are wiser than you are and talk to them. I encourage you to stick to Christians, but look, God can use anyone. I mean, he used Balaam's donkey. I mean, he could use your dog if he wants to, and if your dog starts talking to you, you know, come see me and I'll refer you to someone, but you know, seriously, you know, you God can use even lost people to speak to you. But primarily, you want to seek someone who has the Spirit of the living God in them, who is a man or a woman of the Word. You know. Be sure when you ask for advice, though, you listen, you know. One lady one time told me the trouble with good advice is that it usually interferes with my plans. don't do that. If you know what you're going to do already, don't waste someone else's time by coming and saying, what do I do? Don't do that to your parents, kids. You already know what you're going to do, so you say, well, I'll ask my daddy. You know, don't do that. If you don't waste their time, if you already know what you're going to do, go on and do it. And see, here's the thing. So many times Christians already have decided what they're going to do, and they ask God, and God doesn't reply because God's not like me. I can't read my kids' minds, and if they come and want my opinion, I give it to them. And then they go on off and ignore it and do what they want to do, and it hurts my feelings. You know what I'm talking about, parents, you know, everything. But God isn't going to do that because God knows you and what you're thinking. And if you go to Him and you already know what you're going to do and nothing's going to change your mind, He isn't going to answer you. Seek to do only the will of God. You belong to Him if you're a Christian. And you need to always remember this. As His servant, you are bound to do only what He wishes. Because He's your master. Psalm 143:10 says, teach me to do your will because you are my God. You are my God. And if He's really your God, then you've got to do what He wants you to do. So you do as much of His will as you know to do. You know, sometimes you don't know everything. You don't have all of the answer, but you may have some of the answer, so you do it. You read the Bible, you know. You want to go out, you know, you're mad. And you want to go up and slap your mama because she's just made you mad. None of you kids, or maybe I better say daddy because you know, none of you would ever slap your mama. But you know, you want to go slap your daddy. Well, you go to the Bible. What does the Bible say about your parents and you? Are you supposed the Bible tell you to slap them? No. See, you know you shouldn't do that, no matter how mad you are. So you say, okay, I'm not going to slap them. And so then you begin to think about them and talk about, the Bible talks about loving people. So you say, well, I'm supposed to love them. So then you begin to move on from that, and before long you can go and talk with them and work things out like you should do. Do as much of God's will as you know to do. But I'm going to tell you, if you know partially what to do and you disobey him, you're probably not going to get any more instructions. And it doesn't have to be complicated. How many of y'all remember Bobby Richardson, the baseball player? He was always one of my heroes. And Bobby was a godly man, and he played for the New York Yankees, which I didn't really hold that against him, but I didn't particularly like it. But, you know, he prayed this prayer, and this is one of the best prayers I've ever heard. One reason is it gets to the point. It's very short and to the point. Listen to this prayer. He prayed it at a Fellowship of Christian Athletes meeting. He said, "Dear God, your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Amen." Did you get that? Dear God, your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. That should be our prayers constantly. Your will. You don't have to get into all your things and what you think and that and this and that. Your will, God. And be sure we're not being selfish. Selfishness is one sure way to cut yourself off from God and others and to find out, you know, yourself not knowing what to do. Again, I got ahead of myself, but if you already know, what you're going to do, and it's just selfishness for what you want to do. You know, it's like the old story about the preacher, you know, that had been called from the country church to the big city church, and one of the deacons heard about it and went by there, you know, and saw the preacher's kid out in the yard playing, and he said, "Hey, son, I heard your dad got called to the big city church." And he said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Well, where's your dad?" And he said, he's in there in his office praying. And he said, "Well, where's your mom?" And he said, "She's up in there packing." You know, that preacher already knew what he was going to do because he had already told his wife to pack, you know. Don't waste your time praying when you already know what you're going to do. That's arrogant and selfish. And then ask God to block whatever would be hurtful, foolish, or dangerous, you know. God never wants you to hurt yourself or other people. And that needs to be our prayer constantly. Lord, keep me from hurting people. And I know sometimes when we obey God, it will hurt some people that aren't walking with Him, you know. But don't do it deliberately. And God never wants you to be foolish. You know, He doesn't want that. Foolishness will do three things. It'll cause you to not be in the will of God, because God, you know, He just doesn't honor foolishness. And it'll cause you to ruin your testimony, and it'll also cause you to lead others to be foolish. And that's probably the worst thing. God certainly doesn't want you to do something dangerous that might bring harm to others. And again, it's a matter of prayer that should constantly be being said as you seek God and what He wants for you. So our goal should be to please the Lord. Well, we do this by following His ways. We go, as our Scripture says, our way under His directions. You know, you cannot follow His ways unless you know Him, though. you know, I've talked to people before who just straight up said they did not have a personal relationship with God. And you know what? And then they'd say to me, "But I know what God wants me to do." No, they don't. You know. If I've never met David Perry, if I've never met you, buddy, and somebody says, well, what does David Perry want you to do? And I was like, I don't know. I mean, I've never met the guy. How do I know what he wants me to do? You know what I'm saying. Here's the thing, guys. You got to know and have a relationship with Jesus, because all of us are sinners. Everyone, the Bible says, all have sinned and all of us have failed God and fallen short of what He wants for us. And so as a result, God had to send Jesus, and that's what He came. He came and died on the cross to pay for all that sin. And when we're willing to admit our sin and turn from that sin and turn to Him in faith and turn to Him in belief and call upon Him in faith and belief, He will respond, because everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so He comes into our hearts and we begin to have a relationship with Him, and then we can know what He wants us to do. And that's what's important. So I encourage you today, if you do not have a relationship with Him, to form one. Meet Him today. Come to Jesus. And Christians, understand this. You can't go His way if you're following your way. Pray. Weigh the pros and cons of using, and use God's Word as your plumb line. And seek advice from trusted friends and seek to do only His will. And don't be selfish, and really and truly ask God to block things that are gonna cause problems. The mind of the man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Here's a poem. I love poems. Sorry. I am not sent a pilgrim here, my heart with earth to fill. But I am here God's grace to learn and serve God's sovereign will. He leads me on through smiles and tears. Grief follows gladness still. But let me welcome both alike, since both work out His will. No service in itself is small, none great, though earth it fill. But that is small that seeks its own, and great that seeks God's will. Then hold my hand, most gracious Lord. Guide all my doing still. And let this be my life's one aim, to do and bear Thy will. Let's pray. Father, as we come to this time of invitation, I pray that if in fact there is someone here that needs You as a Savior, their Savior, I pray, Lord, that they would come and surrender to You and call upon You for salvation. And Lord, I pray if there are Christians here that are selfishly going their own way and not even considering You in their lives and what they are doing in their lives, what their family's doing, what's going on. They never even think about You. They never open Your Word during the week. They never pray. They never do anything. They just go on. No difference in their life and in the life of a lost person. Oh Lord, I pray that You would convict us all. Thank You for Your Word, and thank You for the fact that You've given us these wonderful things called brains that we so seldom really use, but we need to, and we need to use them and to seek to follow and walk after You. Guide our steps, Lord. I pray that for us as individuals and as a church.